Have you made a map that you're proud of? Enter Esri Canada's 2024 Map Calendar Contest to have your outstanding work featured. For more information, visit esri.ca/calendar. That is esri.ca/calendar. Submission deadline is fast approaching on June 30th, 2023. Welcome to Geographical Thinking, the podcast where you get ideas, stories, and conversations through the lens of geography. I'm your host, Guan Yu. Canada has a proud military tradition. According to the 2021 census, almost 100,000 Canadians currently serve in the Canadian Armed Forces, taking part in a variety of UN, NATO, and other multinational peace support operations, as well as search and rescue operations, natural disaster responses, and even COVID-19 pandemic support and vaccination distribution initiatives. But did you know the vital role of GIS professionals in the Canadian Armed Forces? Joining me today to discuss GIS in our Armed Forces is Lieutenant Colonel Denise Sweet. Denise, welcome to Geographical Thinking.
Thanks, Guan, for having me. I'm excited.
I'd imagine there are many projects in our armed forces that uses location data and GIS. Can you talk about a few of them and give us a sense of how GIS is used in our armed forces?
For sure. So GIS is really the backbone of the forces. As we like to say in my unit, no plane flies, no ship sails, and there are no boots on the ground without products that are provided from the mapping and charting establishment. So this is to say that every single time we do an operation, we have folks that are using maps, data, GIS products we produced. We just don't send people out the door without it. It's critical. So, and for example, we don't only support foreign operations, we also support the Canadians here back at home. So when there was natural disasters, such as the floods in Ottawa in 2019, we used web services with the Esri backbone to provide data of where the floods were so we could distribute our troops and make sure that the support was there to get the sandbags in the right places at the right time. So it's all part of the basic planning of all operations, whether they be for a combat operation or for support to a humanitarian.
You manage the mapping and charting team in Ottawa. Tell us a little bit about your team. What does it do?
Okay, so the mapping and charting establishment is the focal point for GeoMax in the Canadian Armed Forces. So the majority of the GIS professionals in the Canadian Armed Forces, approximately two-thirds, work for the mapping and charting establishment in Ottawa. The other two-thirds, we have the mapping and charting establishment, myself as the functional authority for geomatics and the Canadian Armed Forces. We dictate best practices and procedures. We do career management for the folks that are not in Ottawa as well. But directly, I have about two-thirds under my command. They do everything from producing geospatial information, storing geospatial information, distributing it to the folks on the ground, as well as doing analysis. So we do from beginning to end everything geomatics, it comes through us.
So do you manage a lot of like geospatial data?
Yes, so we actually have a bespoke data management system that we have created with industry partners to manage our data, which we have our own servers. We hold just an immense amount of data so that we are ready to distribute it on a moment's notice to our folks. We have services so our planners can reach directly in and grab certain types of information without even contacting us. It's all set up with various services, or if there's some specialty stuff, they can reach back to us and ask us what they for information, what they need, and we will get it out to them as soon as possible.
So your team is really the GIS foundational team that makes that collects these data and make them available for people to self-serve themselves, but also creating applications and special solutions by request when other units of the armed forces reach out and they are looking for specific solutions. Your team are also in charge of building those.
We do everything from foundation production, standard products, such as we're involved in, we're actually a lead nation in the multinational geospatial co-production program, which is a program which consists of 32 partner nations that are creating high resolution digital map data to cover the entire globe. As a lead nation, we have produced enough data to get that status, and now we're able to draw on all the information all 32 nations have put in so that we can create our standard map products off of that. This is one of the major things we do. So we do foundation products such as that. We also do stuff in the 3D terrain visualization, but then we also do web service production for both ourselves as Canadian Armed Forces, but we can also provide these services to other government departments as needed. We disseminate maps, paper maps still. We have a large format printing press. We're the only organization in the Canadian government that still has a printing press. So this is one of those things that we get leaned on a lot to provide, is that large actual paper maps, because there is still a demand for that.
Wow, the scope is really large. How big is your group?
So we are around 250 individuals, 50% civilian, 50% military. There's another approximately 100 GIS professionals that are scattered across the country and at various overseas postings to directly support units. We also, as directly under my control, there's about 30 folks that are working on each coast directly supporting the Navy in our hydrographic services offices. So it's a large team, but really it always seems like we never have enough folks to support everyone who's asking.
I can't imagine, because the scope of work, as you describe, is just immense. And it's interesting to hear that 50% of your group are roughly civilian, the other half are in the military. Do these groups have different functions, or do they work as one united team?
So it's one team. The civilians generally do all the standard product production, and there really are continuity for dissemination efforts and making sure that if our military members are pulled out to be deployed, we still have the professionals working back in the office to make sure all those services are there, all those products are done. But really, it's one team. We work together. The career paths are different. So for our civilian members, they apply for the positions fully trained. So they come in and they already have a GIS background. We train them on their specific jobs they're going to be doing for us, but they are already a qualified individual. For the military members, it's a completely different career path. You join the Canadian Forces, you do your basic training, and then for the non-commissioned members, they do a two-year certificate in GIS at Algonquin College, and then they are deployed out to their various units where they're going to serve, either to my unit, the Mapping and Terrain Establishment, or out to one of the various outstations that I mentioned where they're directly supporting the units. And then they move through their career path, coming back to the Mapping and Terrain Establishment for more advanced career training, because part of my establishment is also the School of Military Mapping, which provides all of this, the progression of the military folks.
Earlier on, you mentioned that Canada is one of the 32 countries who work, who collaborate at an international level to create the base of high resolution coverage of the globe, the mapping coverage of the globe. Tell us a little bit more about that collaboration. What's involved and what are some of the challenges?
Okay, so that's just one of the programs we do, and that's specifically the Multinational Geospatial Co-Production Program, where, yes, it's 32 partner nations. We are collecting high-resolution digital mapping data to cover the globe. The challenges, obviously, with this is it's 32 different nations, so they're producing data, and we have to make sure we're on the same standards. So we are heavily involved in making sure we set those standards. As one of the lead nations, we attend various conferences. There's also the production planning to make sure that each nation is producing over separate areas. And we also coordinate if there's a certain area of the globe that one nation is interested in, they can talk to other members about maybe taking on the burden sharing to produce those areas. The challenges are always the workforce. The globe is rather large, and this kind of work takes a lot of time. So this project, the MGCP program, has been going on for, I believe, at least 15 years at this point in time. So we're at the point where we're refreshing cells before the entire planet has even been covered. It's a massive problem. Canada, from among our closest allies, we've actually kept the production of this in-house. A lot of our other allies have outsourced this production to industry, so through contracting to meet the quotas of the program. Canada, we still produce it in-house, and therefore we also do a lot of the training to other nations who want to make sure they're being as efficient as possible to meet the standards and get the products out.
It's great to hear that we're a leader in this collaboration, and we're also training others and showing the best practices in the realm of, you know, GIS. You also mentioned collaboration between the armed forces and governments, all levels of governments. Can you talk a bit more about that?
The Canadian Forces works very closely with many of the other government departments. For example, Natural Resources Canada, we work very closely with them. In the past, we worked with Natural Resources Canada to map the north of Canada. So this is back in after World War II, the Mapping and Charting Establishment, which was at that time known as the Army Survey Establishment, worked in partnership with NRCan to map the north. To this day, we're still involved in surveying the north. Right now, we have surveys going out each summer up to the Northern Territories, specifically Nunavut, to make sure that we have properly done legal land surveys of the federal properties, so radar sites, bases in the north, because we have been going through the devolution of the north where the territorial governments have been receiving more power over managing their own land from the federal government. So we just have to make sure that we have clearly identified the land that is federal property that will remain under our control. So the Mapping and Charting Establishment is still involved to this day with that program. And that's a joint government endeavor.
Any other collaborations with local government with regard to data sharing and collaboration?
Yes, so we're very involved with data sharing. We like to collect all the data possible, but also if there is a local government that needs information, say for a natural disaster, we're there to support them as well. And so for when there's forest fires out in BC, we're pulling in all the fire data from various government departments or local governments to create one view for our soldiers, normally through a web map service. We'll pull in their feeds to make sure that we have the overarching view, and then we use that as well to assist.
You have been worked in this unit and be the commanding officer for a while. What are some of the challenges you see of adopting GIS and progressing the use of GIS in the military?
So that's a very interesting question. There's a lot of different ways I could go about answering that. I will start off by saying it's always a human resources is the number one challenge. We're always looking for GIS professionals, both civilian or military, to come into the trade. We have suffered historical losses to our workforce through various cutbacks over the years, which we're still trying to recover from. Obviously, the COVID-19 pandemic has had an impact on workforce as well. We are feeling that. So really, human resources, having enough people on the ground to do the work because the work has not slowed while the people have disappeared. So that's a huge challenge. And then the other big challenge would be keeping pace with technology. So I am blessed. I have an engineering section that does research and development to make sure that the mapping and charting establishment has what we require in order to meet the demands of the Canadian Armed Forces and our partners, which means partnering with industry for various projects, making sure that our technology is as up to date as possible. It's no secret that there's a lot of bureaucracy in the government, so some projects take a long time to push through, and when technology is evolving as fast as it is, we need those folks pushing our technology projects to the forefront so that we don't fall behind. So that's always a struggle, is making sure that we are still keeping pace with technology, because everyone sees, hey, I can do this on my smartphone at home. Look at all this great stuff. Why can't I do this with the government issued stuff? So we actually have a team that's making sure that we can provide the same type of services to our members on the ground, despite any red tape we have to jump through to get through the procurement process. So yeah, every year there's new technology, which is fascinating. And we want to be there pushing forward, but make sure that we don't fall down a rabbit hole of this shiny technology that doesn't actually meet the demands of the CAF. So we have to stay focused on, you know, what is required and what technology we need in order to meet it.
Speaking of the latest technology and also the requirements coming from the military, what are some of the latest developments, or when you see into the near future, what are some of the projects that are on the horizon?
So one big one is, because we are lacking on human resources, is trying to find efficiencies in our processes. So we're currently doing a test run with some machine learning software for feature extraction to see if we can speed up or reduce the process of creating some of our standard products.
You mentioned that human resource is a constant challenge you're facing. What are some of the steps that were taken to address that?
When it comes to human resources, yes, we're constantly recruiting, but we're making sure we're recruiting the right individuals as well. So the hiring process for both civilian and military, we look at the qualifications. We're making sure we're recruiting a diverse group of individuals, and we've been having great luck in truly a force multiplier, this diverse workforce, and we're just focusing on making sure it's an inclusive work environment for our individuals. We want to be an employer of choice. I feel we are an employer of choice. We have so many programs to ensure everyone feels heard and supported in the both CAF and civilian workforces. It's really an excellent place to work. Everyone's opinion matters. And I would say for my team at the Mapping and Charting Establishment, everyone is so highly educated. Yes, there is that military structure with hierarchy, but it doesn't matter what rank you are. Your opinion, your ideas matter. We give our young folks the opportunity to work on 20% projects. So this is when they get 20% of their time to work on just a project of their choice, something that interests them in the field. And it's just amazing to see what our folks are coming up with. This is part of how we lead and stay on top of technology, as we had talked about before, is we have these young, inspired folks looking at the technology, looking at parts that interest them, and then digging in a little deeper, bringing that back. Hey, is this something we could use?
So for our listeners out there, if they were interested in applying, what would you say to them?
So if there's listeners out there who are interested in the GIS profession and specifically working for the Canadian Armed Forces in either a civilian or a military capacity, I would say, you know, please either go to your recruiting center or look at the CanadaJobs.ca website where all the various government jobs are listed and apply. It's an excellent opportunity. You'll be doing amazing work that directly supports the security of Canada and our allies, supporting Canadians directly with domestic operations. So for floods and fires, when the Canadian Forces is called out to assist, you'll be directly providing support to that to make sure that Canada stays a safe and wonderful place to live.
Before we sign off, Denise, would you share with us what makes you feel most fulfilled or most happy about your current role?
In my current role, I am blessed to work with a wide range of inspired, highly educated professionals who really love their work and the GIS, and they are always looking for, you know, how can we do this better? So what really inspires me to come to work every day is knowing that the team I'm working with is doing an absolutely amazing job and they're enjoying their work, and we have a direct impact on the security of Canada.
Thank you very much, Denise, for your time and coming to Geographical Thinking and demystifying GIS in our armed forces.
Thank you very much for having me.
Lieutenant Colonel Denise Sweet is the commanding officer of the Mapping and Charting Establishment and has served with the Canadian Armed Forces for 20 years. You can learn more about the Canadian Armed Forces, including job opportunities, at forces.ca. This podcast is brought to you by Esri Canada, a technology company that empowers people and organizations by the science of wear. Bye for now.